Amen. We'll go ahead and pray, and then we'll jump into this Sabbath lesson. Father Yah, we just honor you and bless you as always. And right now we seek wisdom and understanding on today. And we bless you, and we bless you in advance for that. We always acknowledge your Son and thank you for him. We always acknowledge your Spirit and thank you for giving your Spirit to us to bring us into truth. And most of all, we just glorify you for being the Most High Yah. And our trust is completely in you. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen. Amen. All right. I want to deal with a subject matter here that, I mean, obviously we need to take a closer look at in order to understand, you know, some things. And what I'm still learning, you know, how to do this. Excuse me, y'all. I'm still learning how to do this, to slow down and to make sure that that every word is covered to the best of our ability and understood in that same manner. And sometimes, you know, sometimes things will be right there and they'll be just obvious for us to see. And then there are times when, you know, when we think we're looking at a certain thing a certain way, and you know, and be missing the point. And I want to deal with one of those kind of lessons today. That has been how can I start out with this? There has been a concern. There has been a concern that we, because we know who, because we know there's one Yah, and there's no other beside him. There's been a concern, you know, at least on my part is, you know, and I'm just saying concern because I think you feel the same way. To make sure that, you know, that we're obeying Yah's commandments to the best of our ability, and not be, you know, be led into doing something from a traditional point of view. You know, from a traditional point of view, and then on the other hand, because of certain things that we understand, that we don't miss the point. And again, you know, this is one of the lessons where I think we've missed the point. And I want to go back and look at it and let the scriptures teach us by just slowing down. Y'all know how we are as far as words are concerned. We try to, you know, define words and get an understanding of words that we may not just understand initially. And so we'll look at some things on the day and see what Yah has to say about this. We'll start out in Exodus chapter 20. Exodus 20, let's start at verse 1. It said, Yah spake all these words, saying, I am Yah thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And so I'll just give you the title now, since we looked at verse 3. Have no other gods. Have no other gods. One more time, have no other gods. Verse 3 says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters under the earth. Verse 5, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord Yah, am a jealous Yah, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Verse 6, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy Yah in vain, for Yah will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Okay, now when we look at this, there are some questions that I want to throw at you by showing you the scriptures, and then we'll come to a conclusion. Could you play with your pen?
My pencil, it
you stuffed you right in and inside, yeah. Jumped out on. Okay, so we'll pull up another Bible beside this one here. Now, we'll start at verse 18 for the sake of the time to the right of the screen. Exodus 25, verse 18. Now, we'll keep in mind what it says to the left of the screen, Exodus 20. Verse 3 says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Verse 4 says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Y'all see it? And when we look to the right of the screen, it's kind of dry mouth, y'all, so y'all have to put up with me. Sometimes I get like that in the morning.
I do that all the time. That's why I carry meds.
Yeah, I can't drink that much water, you know, because of I'll build up with fluid, so that's why I'm. I don't know. What kind of medicine?
Meds.
Oh. Yeah, I suck on them, but they don't do them, make me more thirsty.
Really?
Yeah.
Dry mouth.
As in thirsty.
Yeah.
I don't want to be thirsty.
No, it won't make you thirsty, is what I'm trying to say.
Oh. We'll try it. Yeah, if it work, I just keep them.
That's fine. I got me some at home.
I got me some at home because it keeps me. I just keep them. I'm your pastor, but you my cousin too, so I keep them. And so when we look at verse 18 to the right of the screen, it says, "And thou shalt make two cherubims of gold, of beaten work shall thou make them in the two ends of the mercy seat." Now, if you don't mind taking a stab at it, you know what cherubims are?
Small? Well, not that small.
Well, that's what you were doing.
Okay, I won't use my hands.
You thinking about Cinderella or something, Jason?
No. But they're like, I don't want to say, they're big, but they're like with eight joint. No.
They're what?
I probably get that mixed up. Never mind.
Okay. We're going to keep stabbing at it. What do you think cherubims are?
Okay, I can look it up better than I can explain.
Let's just keep it simple. Let's just say angelic beings.
Well, that's where I was going, but I was going to say they don't have wings on them. So.
They don't have wings?
Okay.
These have wings.
Okay, then.
Okay, I'm just saying. So we'll just keep it simple, and I'll just pull up the definition here to help us out. When you look at cherubim, let me go back. It's not giving a lot of information. It doesn't give a lot of information as far as the definition here, but there are other definitions that, you know, you can look up and it'll point to some kind of angelic being, okay? And we can see proof of this in Ezekiel chapter 1 when it deals with, and I know I'm pulling up a lot of Bibles here, but I have to do it this way in order for us to see precept upon precept, line upon line. Ezekiel chapter 1. Quite a bit of reading. I just started at verse 4. Ezekiel 1 verse 4, to the left of the screen, all the way to the left. It says, "And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. Also out of the midst of thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. And everyone had four faces. And everyone had four wings." So you had four living creatures. They looked like they had the physical appearance, for lack of a better way to put it, of a man. But then it describes their faces. They had four faces. Okay. Boy, man, when we see the kingdom, boy, it's going to be some stuff probably going to freak us out. You know, because we've never encountered the things that we're going to encounter when the kingdom is manifested. And verse 5 says, also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man, and everyone had four faces, and everyone had four wings. That's why I was saying, sisters, Jesus had wings. Had four wings, and their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf, like the sole of a calf's foot. Oh, I think I messed up. Oh, yeah. Okay, I see it. And they sparkled like the color of burning brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides. and they four had their faces. And their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went everyone straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man and the face of a lion. On the right side, okay, and they four had the face of an ox on the left side, and they four had the face of an eagle. So you have this angelic being, for lack of a better way to put it, living creature that has four faces, wings, hands, and this, you know, with what's being described here is something that you know we've most likely never seen before. Verse 11. Thus were their faces, and their wings were straight upward, two wings. Of everyone were joined one to another, and two covered their bodies, and they went everyone straight forward. Whether the spirit was to go, they went, and they turned not when they went. And as for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like the burning coals of fire, and like the appearance of lamps. It went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright, and out of every time I moved it, I lose it. The fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning, and the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. Now as I beheld the living creatures, behold, one wheel upon the earth by the living creature with his four faces. The appearance of the wheel and their work was like unto the color of beryl. And they four had one likeness, and their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. And when they went up on their four sides, and they turned not when they went. Verse 18, we'll stop there. As for the rings, they were so high that they were dreadful, and the rings were full of eyes round about them four. Okay. So when we look at Ezekiel 4, And then Exodus 25, we'll see that, Exodus 25, verse 18, we see that Yah says, in constructing this mercy seat, and putting things with it, verse 17, and thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold, pure cubits of a half shall be the length thereof, and a cubit and a half the breadth thereof, and thou shalt make two cherubims of gold of beaten work, shall thou make them, and the two ends of the mercy seat. Verse 19. And make one cherubim on one end, and the other cherubim on the other end, even of the mercy seat, shall ye make the cherubims on the two ends thereof. And the cherubims shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and their faces shall look one to another. Toward the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubims be, and thou shalt put the mercy seat above the ark. Okay, we'll stop at verse 20. So my question is, what allows, we look at Exodus 20 to the far right, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Then we look at Ezekiel that described the living beings, gives the impression that the living beings and the cherubims are, I'll say at least, angelic beings. Looking to the right of the screen, it says, verse 3, thou shalt have no other gods before thee. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Why? And I'm going to ask her. I'm going to ask the question, and the answer is there. But I want you to help me with it instead of me just telling you. I want you to think. Why would he say in Exodus 20, don't have no other gods before him? Then he said, thou shalt not make any graven, make thee any graven image, verse 4, to the right of the screen, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above. Question. If cherubims are living creatures, then why were they allowed to be made? And our nation is instructed not to make them. Verse 3, to the right of the screen, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above. Well, we can see Exodus 25, they're making cherubims. Is this a contradiction of the scriptures?
I would say yes.
Okay.
Like when Moses put that serpent on the rod, it was not to worship
any. Yes. We're going to look at the scripture that he just mentioned. Say it again, Brother Luther, where I can hear you.
He gave instructions to do these things, but not to worship them.
Yes.
Well, isn't that what I said? What did I say?
I know what you said, Jimmy. I don't remember. You know, I ain't got that age now. I'm 61,
yeah,
girl.
Too,
you got,
so.
you got, we got to help each other out.
I don't remember. You said nothing.
Huh?
She said nothing, didn't she?
No, she said yes.
Okay.
Yeah, she don't remember. She said that. She said.
Okay.
Yeah, Thomas helped me.
I was trying to help.
Thomas said, shoot, my mom. Mama, chill. You're getting out of this. Shh. Get away. Brother Luther makes a clear point that separates Exodus 25 and Exodus 20. And I read it the first time, but I didn't read it the last few times. So I'm going to go look to the right of the screen. We'll look at verse 3. And we'll keep reading this time to confirm what Brother Luther just said. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath. Okay. Or that is in the waters under the earth. : Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them. There's nothing wrong with having cherubims over the mercy seat as long as we don't worship the cherubim as God. So that works that way across the board. You get people that say, oh, well, you know, you shouldn't have that picture on your wall. You shouldn't have this and you shouldn't that. There are some things that I do or have done because of coming into the knowledge of the truth. And in coming into that knowledge of the truth, I have shown somebody some things that's symbolic without actually saying that's a person or worshiping that person. I used to have a picture of Black Moses with the Ten Commandments over the fireplace. Well, I took it down because I didn't want to be offensive or be a stumbling block to somebody who didn't understand what we're talking about. But because I didn't bow down and worship those things, they were symbolic on saying, okay, I know who we are as a nation of people, and I know that white Jesus is not God. So there were certain things symbolic, and so we have to keep that in mind across the board about certain things. And make sure that we follow the scripture precept upon precept, line upon line. Okay, we can't take things and worship them. Now, if we all be honest, I know I used to do it because I didn't know any better. I used to go to church and they'd have white Jesus on the wall, and I actually thought that was the Son of God. You know, I thought that was God, you know, and so I would see that halo thing shining over his head and it just looked so holy to me and stuff like that. Well, I didn't know I was worshiping. And that's the part that was, you know, that gets us in trouble. Whereas, because we have a lack of understanding about some things, then we'll take certain situations and implement them or not implement them based upon what we understand or what we don't understand. Okay. And it's important for us to understand it. So that little, but it's big. That little verse 5 to the right of the screen it brings about a big understanding. Because now it all makes sense when we're going to look at some other things that we're getting ready to look at. You know, we always probably wondered about it before, you know, before we understood things the way we're starting to understand it now. Numbers 21. Numbers 21, we'll start at verse 4. Numbers 21, verse 4, say, and they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against Yah and against Moses, wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, or any, and our soul loathed this light bread, manna. And Yah sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against Yah and against thee. Pray unto Yah that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And Yah said unto Moses, make of thee a fiery serpent and set it up on a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. Verse 9 said, Moses made a serpent of brass and put it up on a pole, and it came to pass that if any person had been had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. And the children of Israel sit forward and pitched in Oboth. And so when we see it here, we see that there was a snake made of brass because they were being bitten by a fiery serpent, and because they would look up on that brass snake, they wouldn't die from the snake bites. Okay. Now when we move to 2 Kings 18. I'll just leave this up. When we look at 2 Kings 18, we'll start at verse 1 to the right of the screen. Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, son of Eli, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah, and he did that which was right in the sight of Yah, according to all that David his father did. He removed the high places, have no other God. He removed the high places and break the images and cut down the groves and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it. And it was called Nehushta. They turned that fiery serpent into an idol. And because of that, it was destroyed. Now, as long as they wasn't worshiping it, everything is fine. But the minute they start worshiping it, Yah had it destroyed. And that's the difference The difference is, don't bow down to these things, whether it's in heaven or in the earth beneath or in the waters or halfway, we put it. We don't bow down to worship these things. We don't have no other gods before Yah. No other God beside Yah. That's why I tell you all the time that Yah is God all by himself. There is no other. He tells us that in his own word, that there is no other God beside me. I alone am Yah. And so that's why I don't, I try to be very careful when I say this, but I don't, I'm very careful about worshiping the Son of Yah in place of the Father Yah. I believe that the Son can be honored and worshiped in a manner whereby he's identified and categorized as far as the scriptures are concerned. But I will not bow down and worship him as God. I will confess and take it to the mountaintop or in the Lord's valley that he is the Son of Yah, that he is the express image of the Father. He encompasses everything that the Father is, but he is not my Yah. He's the Son. He's the express image. He's the process by which the Father redeemed us back to himself. So that's how I sit to honor him and worship him. When I sing songs and different things like that, I'm very mindful to make sure, you know, because you get a lot of people who don't understand what we just discussed, and they'll say, you know, they'll say that you know, Christ is God, and start making songs that acknowledges that, and here we are saying things in ignorance instead of saying things based upon what the scripture actually says. And so what I've learned to do is to be very, very mindful that that I'm not putting anybody or anything beside the Most High Yah. But that he is the creator. He's the bringer of life, and he takes away life. All that belongs to Yah. He's in complete control, and I'm very mindful about it. And want to make sure that whatever I'm doing is designed to glorify him. And here's the neat thing about it. The neat thing about this is there's no competition between the Father and the Son. So when we desire to give him, give the Father glory for all of his creation, there's no jealousy. The Son is not saying, I had something to do with something. Oh, there's no competition. Matter of fact, he feels You know, he feels, I believe I can be safe in saying this. He feels good knowing that he has led us back to our Creator. I've done my job. I'm like, the Father is going to send his Son to do all that work, and then we want to turn around and mess up the process by which Yah did it. He should be glorified, and in glorifying him, you know, Christ is glorified. Whenever I glorify Christ for the redemptive work that he's done, or all the things that he's been obedient to the Father, and you know, in reference to, you know, in reference to things and fulfilling the scriptures that's written of him, you know, and things like that. I mean, it makes me proud to be a follower of Christ. And it makes me proud to know that who my God is, and that there is none like him. Who Christ is, there is none like him. He's the only begotten Son. Those things are very important, but we've taken religious perspectives and mixed this thing all up. And it just shouldn't be that way. And it's just little simple things like what we looked at on today that shows us, hey, all we got to do is slow down and look at what's really being said here. And now we don't have to, you know, be under pressure to do things from a religious point of view, but we do things because we understand now. Okay. And that's what I wanted to share with y'all on today. And if you don't have any, you know, questions or comments, I'll go ahead and stop right here. All right. Okay. Father, y'all, we just bless your name on today, and we thank you for just slowing down, allowing us to slow down and just see things in your word that's you know, plainly there for us to see if we just allow you to guide us and to lead us into the understanding of what you've decreed. And we bless you for that, for giving us your spirit to be able to do so. And we'll keep making adjustments and grow as we learn and come into more and more understanding of things. It is our desire, Father, to obey your commandments. Give us the wisdom, lead and guide us in all truth. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen.
Amen.